This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. Militant attacks in Iraq today have now claimed at least 36 lives. One bombing in Baghdad struck an outdoor market in the city's south. Another blast devastated a market in the northeast. Officials say the northeastern blast killed at least 28 people in one fell swoop. The attacks bearing the hallmarks once again of the terrorist group that calls itself Islamic State. The House is set to begin consideration of a defense authorization bill, one that includes, according to correspondent Wally Hines, a number of controversial amendments.
Among them, one requiring women to register for the draft, another allowing illegal immigrants to enlist in the military, and one that would downsize the National Security Council. That one a reaction to recent comments from Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes over how the Obama administration manipulated public opinion to sell the Iran nuclear deal.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Charles de la Desma, meantime, reporting that country police in Britain are now warning they would be targets, sitting ducks, in fact, they say, in the event of a serious terrorist attack there because there simply are not enough trained firearms officers in isolated regions.
Britons are proud of the principle that police should routinely be unarmed, but the Paris attacks, in which gunmen fired into crowds, underscored the challenges police currently face. To combat rising fears, the government has announced that it will train more firearms officers, but local police fear that, being unarmed themselves, they'd be sitting ducks in a terror situation. Currently, firearms police could be as far as 70 miles away in an emergency.
That is Charles de la Desma reporting. The World Health Organization's chief says the agency is increasingly worried about the Zika virus, even though it does not recommend canceling or postponing the upcoming Rio de Janeiro Summer Olympic Games. Looking to Wall Street, it was a Dow up 175 points yesterday at 17,711. More on these stories from townhall.com.
This is Eric Metaxas. One of my most cherished possessions is my honorary doctorate from Liberty University. You're probably familiar with Liberty, the world's largest Christian university, founded in 1971 by the late Dr. Jerry Falwell. What you might not know is that Liberty University also has the country's largest private nonprofit online university. Today, over 95,000 students around the world enjoy the same quality education as Liberty's residential students in Lynchburg, Virginia. Ranked consistently among the top 10 online universities because of their high retention and graduation rates, Liberty offers hundreds of degree programs. If you've always wanted to obtain your degree but thought it was impossible, check out Liberty's online programs. For more information, pick up your cell phone, dial #250, and say the keywords Liberty University. Discover how affordable and flexible a Liberty education can be. Dial #250 now and say the keywords Liberty University.
A senior administrator says India is set to divert water from its rivers to deal with a severe drought. The BBC's Charles Haviland has more.
The drought sweeping India has been widely described as the worst for many years. In many states, people are resorting to dangerous measures to get water. These five men in Haryana, including an uncle and nephew, were trying to recharge a long-abandoned well by connecting it to a pond, but they were unaware that noxious gases had developed in the depths of the shaft, and all of them succumbed to the fumes.
That's the BBC's Charles Haviland. Voters in Oregon and Kentucky yanking the crank in those voting booths today, getting ready to decide whether or not they want Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders as their party's nominee in the general election. Now, there is some controversy surrounding the voting today as it comes right on the heels of some controversy in Nevada over the weekend in which supporters of Bernie Sanders allegedly threw chairs and even made death threats against some party officials. Breaking news at townhall.com. The International Space Station, round and round it goes, as Rich Thomason explained.
It's a high-flying milestone, more than 17 years in the making. As of Monday morning, the International Space Station orbited the Earth 100,000 times, and it's still going. NASA says those 100,000 orbits are akin to traveling more than 2.6 billion miles, and that's equivalent to 10 round trips to Mars, or almost one way to Neptune.
As correspondent Rich Thomason, officials from a well-financed campaign to raise California's cigarette tax by $2 a pack say they have enough signatures now to put the measure before voters in the election. The Save Lives California Coalition unloaded several boxes of signatures at the San Diego County Registrar's
Registrar of Voters Office in its effort to more than triple California's cigarette tax at $2.87 a pack. They say it will stop young people from smoking. More of these stories from Town Hall.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We're back with the America just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to be in the running for that DVD Risen, DVD Blu-ray, all you got to do is send me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. We gave away a couple last week. We're going to give away a bunch more this week. All you got to do, just say, hey, Martinez, put me in the running for it. Hey, we'll be happy to put you in the hoppa, as they say. And you could win the DVD, which is going to be released on May 24th, but you get it before then through us. So congratulations and good luck to you. Randy Barnett is with us, back with us, I should say. He's the author of 11 books, including Restoring the Lost Constitution and the Structure of Liberty. He's a Carmack Waterhouse Professor of Legal Theory at the Georgetown University Law Center, where he teaches constitutional law and contracts as director of the Georgetown Center for the Constitution. Randy, good to have you back with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you particularly. I mean, there's so much stuff that we can go on, especially when it comes with constitutional law and things that are happening with Obamacare. But this judge's ruling in favor of the GOP Congress striking down Obamacare payments. Break that down for our audience, if you would.
Right. Well, this is actually an example of where the judge is upholding and enforcing Obamacare against what the president did to try to change it. To something he liked better. The Obamacare is a very complicated statute, but this is actually not all that complicated. There are two things that Obamacare does. One is it pays credits to consumers to help them pay for their insurance, and the other is it pays subsidies to insurance companies so that they will keep they will lower the price of the insurance that is charged to consumers. Well, the first of those in the original Obamacare bill was funded by an automatic appropriation from Congress. So all the credits that go to consumers were funded in the statute. But the second, the payments to insurers, that was not funded in the statute. It said that those would happen, but they would have to be appropriated by Congress every year. And then the president asked for the appropriations, and Congress didn't give it to him. So Congress refused to appropriate the subsidies for the insurance companies. And so what the president did is he took the other money that wasn't supposed to go to that, and he said, I'm going to put it to the insurance companies. And that's what the judge said he couldn't do. He said it was illegal. She said it was illegal for him to take the money that was not appropriated for that purpose and use it for a purpose that Congress had not said it could be used for.
Well, Randy, he's been pretty liberal in his thinking about Obamacare because of the way it's been written and what he's been able to do with it. I mean, it's kind of like one of those living pieces of legislation that continues to grow in his hands, girded by his pen and his cell phone.
Absolutely. And what the reason why this case was a big deal is that the way Congress controls the executive branch by so-called power of the first is by not funding things. Mm-hmm. So they don't fund something, and then the executive has to come and maybe, you know, do what the Congress wants in return for Congress's money. Here, what the administration said was the president could take the money and use it how he wished, and if Congress wanted, the only way Congress could enforce its power of the purse is by just prohibiting him from doing that. Well, if you're going to prohibit him, that means each branch of Congress has to pass a law prohibiting him. Then he can veto that law. Then they have to do it with a supermajority override, and that's the only way they could exercise their power of the purse under the administration theory. Well, this federal judge said no way and said no. If the Congress doesn't fund it, that's all that's necessary. The president can't do it on his own until he says stop me. So this was a very important reinforcement of Congress's power of the purse over the president.
Well, Randy, is this like the first time Congress has exercised the power of the purse? I know they've threatened several times and shutting down the government. Everybody gets all wiggy about it and, oh, you know, those doggone conservative Republicans and whatever. But, I mean, it seems like this is the first time they actually did this, and it's almost... It's almost interesting the way this was done because it wasn't. It doesn't seem like it was all that overt, does it?
Right. I mean, I think Congress has been doing quite a bit quietly to resist. This is one of the pressure points it had. It said that well, we're not going to allocate these funds, and you know, you can't make us. And so these are sort of things that have been happening quietly. But then when the president goes around Congress by saying, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway," that's the reason why you won't read about it is because at this point the insurance companies are getting their subsidies and there's nothing to write home about. It's only if they're denied the subsidies would that make news.
Mm-hmm. Well, so where is he getting the money to continue on with something the court says is illegal for him to do?
Well, other funds are being collected. They're being paid for out of the general treasury, that, you know, from revenues that are coming into the treasury, like, for example, the revenues that are going out to pay for the consumer credits, the subsidies that go to consumers, those were appropriated in the bill. So he's using money for that, and he's using the similar money for the other thing that was not appropriated in the bill. But this is what this. Getting back to my book, Our Republican Constitution, this is an example of what's called the separation of powers that I have a chapter of my book talking about, and why and how the president has tried as much as he can, and this actually, you know, even begins under President Bush, to extend the power of the presidency. So that he is not governed by, he is not merely executing the law that's passed by Congress, but he's in fact making up his own law and then saying to Congress and the courts, okay, stop me.
And the court said, okay.
Well, this time they stopped
him. Yeah. So now, but is this a case of misappropriation of funds on his part when he's taking money that earmarked for something else? And now, so now he's doubling down on his error.
Right. I mean, that's what the court held. Now, this is only a district court opinion. The court issued an injunction and then stayed the injunction, so it's not going to go into effect until it's been heard on appeal. And so now this is teed up for the Court of Appeals, and we'll see if the Court of Appeals will reinforce Congress's power of the purse the way the district court judge did. We can't take any of that for granted, of course.
Right. Well, we know what happened the last time. It went to the Supreme Court. Justice Roberts kind of rolled over and, you know, kind of interpreted it for, you know, for the government and came up with, you know, the ruling that he did. Otherwise, at that point, Obamacare would have, you know, would have imploded on itself, right?
Right. That is why I wrote my book. Because, in fact, the book starts with talking about my role in the Obamacare challenge and how it was that we could win on the law. We had five votes that said that what Congress was trying to do with the individual insurance mandate was beyond its powers. And then Chief Justice Roberts said, but I can construe this law as not a requirement, not an insurance mandate, which is all of us thought it was. And he said it was the most natural reading. But I call it an option to buy insurance or pay a small tax. And if I do it that way, I can uphold the law. So you're right. He had to change the law so he could uphold it. And I wrote a book to explain why he wanted to do that and why Republican presidential nominees to the Supreme Court have a tendency to do this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You say that that the Republican nominees have a bent towards this. That's interesting. Why would that be the case?
That's because there are two visions of the Constitution. And whether we have a democracy or whether we have a republic, if you view we the people as a group, then and we the people must rule, then you believe in a democratic constitution in which the voice of we the people should be put into effect by the government, and judges would get in the way, and so judges should defer to the majority as represented by legislatures. But if you view we the people as individuals, and then it's to secure these rights that governments are instituted, to secure the individual rights to life, liberty, and property that governments are instituted among men to achieve, to protect,
right.
That's a Republican constitution in which there's constraints on government and judges should be upholding those constraints. Well, Republican presidents have been nominating people who believe believe in this judicial restraint idea of the Democratic Constitution, and sometimes, like with Chief Justice Roberts, that means upholding Obamacare even when it's unconstitutional.
Exactly. Randy Barnett is with us. We got more from Randy on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. He's the author of 11 books, including Restoring the Lost Constitution and the Structure of Liberty. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't it stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Bill Martinez, live.
Tambourine,
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes, just about. Randy Barnett is with us. We're talking about his new book, Our Republican Constitution, Securing the Liberty and Sovereignty of We the People. As Randy was explaining, in Our Republican Constitution, the nation's leading libertarian legal scholar tells the riveting story of the long struggle between two fundamentally opposing constitutional traditions and explains how beneath every passionate debate between conservatives and liberals, whether it's gun control, health care, immigration, and so on, lies a deep fundamental disagreement about our founding document. Randy, you know, we touched on this a little bit, but I want to, you know, unfold this a little bit more so people understand, you know, the clash of these two philosophies as they operate with people that, you know, or, you know, like for me, I consider myself to be a constitutionalist. I believe in the original language of, you know, of the Constitution.
Well, and so do I, and in my last book I explained why that was exactly the right approach to take. And then the problem is that even if you believe in the language of the Constitution, if you have a certain view of judges as their appropriate role is to defer to the majoritarian branches, the democratic branches, even getting the language right isn't going to be enough. As I say, in Obamacare we got the language right, and yet we still lost. So that's why I wrote this book, in order to explain that if you have a very democratic reading of the Constitution, where the will of the people is supposed to be put into law, then judges have a very problematic role to play because they're getting in the way of the will of the people. But if you have a Republican view of the Constitution, which is that it's there to secure the rights and liberties of the people as well as to limit the scope and size of government, then judges have a very important role to play to make sure that Congress and the President are playing within the rules. We already talked about President Obama not staying within the rules of executive power. Then we talked about Congress not staying within the rules, where it's up to the courts to enforce those rules. And last week, one federal judge did just that.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as, you know, this judge, this federal judge making this, I mean, it was a big surprise for Barack Obama and his administration. I mean, you could tell, I mean, they were none too happy about it and felt like, wait a minute, what's going on here, you know?
Right. Well, now the way the rules are, they have to go back to Congress and get the appropriation for the money that will be sent to the insurance companies. And really, the pressure will be on Congress to do that, because otherwise these insurance companies might leave the markets, and that'll put pressure on Congress to make the law. But Congress might to make the appropriation, but Congress might in return require that maybe changes be made in Obamacare. That's how this give and take goes in a divided government, which is what we have.
Well, there's not been a lot of give and take as far as the Republicans are concerned. I mean, it's been more, you know, more take, you know, from the president's side than give. I don't know that the Republicans have gotten anything whatsoever out of Obamacare, have they?
Well, I mean, this is a good example of where the president did an end run around statute itself. But, you know, if you listen to the Democrats, they all complain that the Republicans have not fixed Obamacare the way it needs to be fixed. And the reason why Obamacare is failing in state after state is because Republicans haven't fixed it. So by not doing anything, they have allowed Obamacare to unwind the way it was originally written, and that's not working out so well. And it does leave open the possibility now, because it still remains such an unpopular law, that it can be fundamentally reformed with a new administration and a new Congress. It can be fundamentally reformed. Unlike other entitlements that seem to be there for life, this is one that is so unpopular that I think it can still be repealed and replaced.
It is. It's quite a bucket of gum at the end of the day, because you've turned over this health care system and have brought this in exchange for what we had before. And all under the guise that supposedly there were 30 million people uncovered. And I keep asking Randy the question of how many of those 30 million are we covering today versus, you know, when this all began. And there's no number. You can't come up with a number.
Yeah, I've heard various numbers, and I don't, you know, it's hard to believe, hard to credit. You know, numbers are easy to make up and really hard to verify. So I really don't know. I do, you know, you do, of course, hear about all the people who've had their insurance, either they've either lost their previous insurance policies, or they are extremely expensive now with very high deductibles. They have worse insurance policies than they used to have. That's a pretty undeniable reality of,
exactly,
how this law has worked out in practice.
Well, Randy, when you look at saving our republic from the political ugliness that's dividing us, I mean, is it all fundamentally about our worldview of the Constitution? Is that what you see it as?
Well, actually, actually, I have a whole chapter on federalism in the book, and here's the point I try to make, and it's not something people notice, and that is that by putting every major social and economic issue up to the federal level, you create a terrible situation where it's winner take all, and if you either lose, you either win, or you lose and have to live under the winner's rules. So because it raises the stakes on every economic and social issue, everybody is fighting to the death at the national level, and there's all these Republican constraints on passing laws, so everybody can block everybody, and that leads to gridlock. What our original system contemplates is the most important social and economic issues are to be handled at the state level.
Exactly.
And that way there can be 50 state solutions, and if you don't like what your state's doing, you can move one state over. You don't have to leave the country of your birth in order to enjoy the economic and social policies that you prefer to live under.
But this federal government, they love the idea of this growth, the fact that, their perception is that they're the government of everything. They can do a better job with this one-size-fits-all. But, you know, every time we're running into this problem, whether it's gridlock or, it's just not working.
Right, and that's the reason why it's important to limit the federal government to the few things that it's supposed to do, that it has to do, that have to be done at a national level, like national defense, and also creating a free trade within the United States, which is a very important thing, reason why the Constitution was enacted, to create an American free trade zone here inside the United States. And once it's done that, all the most important social and economic policies really are supposed to be done at the state level. I was a state court prosecutor. I was a Cook County State's Attorney in Chicago to prosecute the most serious crime there is, murders and also rapes and armed robberies. And in other words, the founders left even serious crimes like murder to the states. All the state laws of murder are different. We have different county prosecutors prosecuting them in state courts. The most important issues really are to be handled by the states, and that way you can have 50 different solutions to problems.
Exactly.
And a different package of solutions, and we don't have to fight each other to the death over the national solution.
And here we are, once again, we're fighting case in point about this bathroom bill. And it's a one-size-fits-all.
That's a perfect illustration of exactly the sort of thing that the national government should not be getting into. It's the sort of thing that really ought to be handled by property owners, that really ought to be handled by businesses and schools, how they want to administer their own bathrooms. Now, there is a civil rights component of the national government. The 14th Amendment does empower the national government and the courts to protect the civil rights of individuals, that's for sure, and that's important. That's something that the Republican Party added to the Constitution in the wake of the Civil War. Mm-hmm. But unless you're talking about a violation of a fundamental liberty, that's the sort of thing that needs to be handled at the local level, subject to the outer boundaries or guide rails provided by the 14th Amendment.
Randy, we saw this creeping in, and up to about a month ago, there was some conversation on it, not like what we've got right now, where the states are being, North Carolina is being threatened to be defunded for some education, a loss of something like, $4.5 billion, and this kind of stuff. And how does that sit with the Constitution? Because my understanding is that the government cannot use the purse in that direction and threaten the state to withhold money. Am I misunderstanding something here?
You're right, and I actually talk about this in the book, Our Republican Constitution. I talk about how Congress does have wide discretion to raise money by taxes and spend it, but it really ought to be. The courts have not held this, but it really ought to be unconstitutional as violating the general welfare clause of the taxing power, which says taxes have to be raised to serve the general welfare. It ought to be unconstitutional to threaten a state by withholding the taxpayers' money the state's own taxpayers' money from them. In other words, to say, you, North Carolina, we're going to take your tax money from your taxpayers, and we're going to send it to 49 other states if you don't do what we want. If they were to do that, that would mean that law would no longer be in the general welfare. It'd be 49 states and not one. And that
exactly.
would be unconstitutional. But
well, Randy, we're
not held that unconstitutional.
We're all out of time, but thank you so much for being with us. He's the author of the book, Our Republican Constitution, Securing the Liberty and Sovereignty of We the People. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Randy Barnett on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Randy.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Small business owners across the country are concerned about the economy and are taking a wait-and-see approach to growth as election year anxiety rises. According to the Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, only 29% of entrepreneurs are confident the national economy will improve in the coming year. Furthermore, 67% believe the presidential election will affect their business. More than half say the same for congressional elections. Small business owners also expressed increased concern about healthcare costs and the stock market. As a result, they seem to be pulling back on hiring and growth plans, which have both declined since last year. Rob Hilson, small business executive at Bank of America, discusses the findings.
The unusual nature of this election year appears to be impacting the outlook of small business owners for both their business and the economy. Nearly 6 in 10 entrepreneurs plan to keep headcount the same, and another 17% said they were undecided about hiring, suggesting that many are taking a wait-and-see approach.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now. Well, it's time for us to do something.
Bill Martinez Live.
I got to tell you, I think that's the way America feels as I travel this country. It's about time. It's way past time. I said that it's quarter past time even. But I thank you for joining in and being a part of the solution. This is Bill Martinez Live. By the way, we're giving away those free DVDs of Risen, the digital, of course, recording released last week. The official DVD Blu-ray going to be released on May the 24th. 10th highest selling faith-based movie. I mean, they did a great job, and we're going to be talking with the Aiello brothers later on this week as well. Bring them back on. But meanwhile, if you want a free movie, all you got to do is just send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Just say, hey, Bill, put me in the running. Martinez, get me in the running. Make sure I'm in the hoppa. So that way we can choose your name, and you could be the proud recipient of the movie Risen. Absolutely free compliments of Bill Martinez Live, because that's the way we roll around here, Sam, right?
That's right.
Hey, the good news girl is with us, Samantha Mills. She has scoured the highways, the byways for all these viral videos to make you cry and have a good time. By the way, you can go to her website at BillMartinezLive.com. Go to Sam's Corner and you can review it. It's just a fun thing to do sometimes. You know, when you just need a little lift, you go there and you see what the rest of humanity is doing, and they encourage you in so many ways. Like, for example, the first story today, an L.A. sheriff is offering free tattoo removal. Tell us about that, Sam.
Well, you know, tattoos were once considered permanent, of course, but now they can be removed through laser treatment. And a particular group of people that might want their tattoos removed would be people who are in the prison system. You know, they're associated with gangs, and some of them got tattoos actually as young as, like, 11 years old, according to this article. So in Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, they decided to take advantage of the tattoo removal service. And what they do is they incentivize the prisoners by having that, like, to get their tattoos removed, and they have the Bureau's education-based incarceration unit, and the guys will take classes, or, you know, lifestyle classes and educational vocational classes, and that's how they earn their way to get the tattoos removed. I mean, some of these guys have tattoos on their faces,
and ouch,
it's limiting their job prospects, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. I kind of like the saying that Zig Ziglar used to say, you know, when he was still alive, he'd say, you know, I love the creativity of today's youth. You know, it's amazing what they do, you know, with their bodies and tattooing and, you know, metal piercings and whatever. He said, but the problem I have, he says, I could never hire anybody like that, only because I'd spend 75% of my time explaining them to the rest of the staff.
Right.
You know, and that's the tough deal. Although, you know, it's interesting is that tattoos have come a long way. I mean, before, you know, you'd go to restaurants or whatever, very rarely would you see a server with a tattoo. But it's so prevalent that, you know, there's nobody left to hire but people with tattoos, I guess, you know. So it's not quite the stigma that it used to be. But certainly for, you know, for inmates, boy, that tattoo runs really deep. It's not only something that's external, but it's their identification. You know, they've got to, the tattoo is only the surface, but then they got to deal with the psychological impact, especially if you've been associated with a tattoo since you're 11 years old and it has to do with, you know, gangs and things like that. I imagine it goes a long way to take care of the external in hopes that the internal would be altered as well, right?
That's right. And, you know, it really gives them a chance to start with a clean slate, literally. You know, especially when they're associated with a tattoo associated with a gang, it's really hard to get away from something like that because, like you said, it means so much more than just a tattoo that's...
Well, it's not only to the gang, but it's the rest of society, and that's kind of like what they're talking about right now in terms of you know, how do you reclassify people who have been in the criminal system. I mean, for me, I believe, look at, if you've paid your debt to society, you paid your debt, you know, start with a clean slate, you don't necessarily need to be identified as such, and you know, just makes things more difficult. How do you want, I mean, you want them to assimilate in society, but you say, hey, we're going to let you back into society, but we're going to tie your hand and your foot together, you know, that's, there's just something not right about that. But anyway, a discussion for another time. So let's talk about this German Shepherd who rescues troops pinned by ISIS fighters. What a great story this is.
Oh, don't you just love dogs?
No, I love dogs.
So this German Shepherd this is the first time in military history they believe that a working dog has actually directly saved British lives in combat in Iraq or Afghanistan. So what was happening was these British troops, along with an American soldier and his dog, were returning to base after a 10-day training session to Kurdish Peshmerga for Kurdish Peshmerga fighters. And so then this small band of soldiers, which there's about 10 of them, were ambushed by about 50 ISIS fighters. And what ended up happening was the dog was getting really anxious, and he got so anxious and, like, worried about his, you know, his pack of humans that the guy who is in charge of him, the soldier, let him go. And the dog took off without any concern for his safety and charged right towards two ISIS fighters that were, you know, about to attack this group of soldiers. And the guys got so scared, they ended up running away. And, you know, it gave the soldiers enough time to get airlifted out of there. So, I mean, it was just such a great thing that those dogs are doing out there. And that's what you love about dogs, too, is that they just kind of, they don't think of themselves. They're not selfish creatures. And I know those guys, those ISIS fighters had to be super surprised that dog was charging at them like that, because who would have expected an animal to come out of nowhere?
Especially with that kind of speed as well. And so, surprise, you know, here it is. I'm not here to lick you. Let's talk about the U.S. airmen in South Korea that organized a rescue of women and babies. This was incredible. They were jumping from a burning building, Sam?
That's right. Excuse me. This building was four stories tall. and there was four women and three children that were trapped upstairs while this building was on fire. And I can't imagine anything scarier than being trapped in a building that's burning and you're up in the air like that and you have children with you. So because of some training that they had experienced, there was several servicemen in South Korea, American servicemen, that organized different people around the area, and they held blankets and they convinced the women to throw down their babies so that they could be saved, which I cannot imagine how scary that must be. But the video footage is just so powerful. You can see the women and the children falling down, and they're all saved by these American servicemen. They've got groups of people holding these blankets real tight. And, you know, I mean, your heart drops. You know what's going to happen. You know they're going to be okay. But even watching the footage, your heart just drops at the thought of, oh my God.
I mean, you're a mom. You're letting go your baby. And, you know, and here's the situation. You know, you're going to get burned alive or, you know, you're going to release your baby and, you know, and trust that the airmen are going to be able to do their job, right?
That's right. And, you know, it made the headlines in South Korea. You know, because they were talking about it, and the gentleman who posted it, Bill Frost, was saying that, you know, this is their training. This is what they're capable of doing. This is because this is the kind of thing they're trained to do. So,
well, congratulations to them. That's a great story. This last story that we have for today is all about this first grader. He has no hands, and he wins a handwriting contest.
It's actually this young girl named Zanaya Ellick, and she's from Chesapeake, Virginia. And instead of using prosthetics, she uses her forearms to write. So her handwriting isn't with prosthetics or anything like that. She doesn't have hands. And she beat out 50 other contestants to win the prize at Zahner Bloser National Handwriting Contest.
Wow.
So if you can imagine, yes, this girl has better handwriting than probably the rest of us in general. And,
well, you know, she won't be able to be a doctor now, you know, if she has such great handwriting, you know.
I always joke about that. This is totally true.
Yeah, exactly.
She's going to hear herself to do something else.
Well, yeah, you got your fiancé who's a doctor. I mean, he scribbles out things that you need an interpreter for, right?
That's right. You can hardly, like, I always see these little signs with the doctors not being able to write, but... she actually won $1,000, too, so good for her.
Well, good. Wow, what an inspiring story. Great stories. And they're all at Sam's Corner at BillMartinezLive.com. And, Sam, if they've got an idea and a suggestion, how do they get in touch with you?
You email me at samscorner.bml, like BillMartinezLive, at gmail.com. So samscorner.bml at gmail.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2-2 weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the new Zenith, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the new Zenith because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The new Zenith Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2-2 weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
You know, we've all heard about the health benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in the fatty tissues of fish? Bill Martinez Live recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. Insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy. They mean something. Bill Martinez, live. From the
such a rich history we have, America. Bill Martinez here with you, 14 before the top of the hour, and documenting history for us and doing an outstanding job, as always, is David Drucker, Senior Congressional Correspondent for the Washington Examiner. David, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, doing great. I wanted to talk to you about, you've written several articles about conservatives being understandably nervous with a Trump nomination. And you say in your most recent article, with Trump atop the GOP, conservatives could lose influence on Capitol Hill. Break that down, if you would, for us.
Well, look, over the past few years, especially since 2010, when Republicans won control of the House after a four-year absence, the conservative establishment in D.C. that we don't talk too much about, but is an establishment in its own way, these outside advocacy groups that have pushed Republicans on Capitol Hill to adopt policies that would reduce the size and scope of government, that would end taxpayer subsidies for favored industries like the ethanol industry, but there are many others, that have blocked leadership-driven budget bills and transportation bills that push congressional Republicans to shut down the government in 2013 to try and defund Obamacare. These groups have had a lot of influence in doing that. They, you know, they regularly will key what we call here key vote a bill, basically sending out an alert saying that if you vote for or against this bill, it'll count against you. And, you know, maybe we'll fund a primary challenger to you if we don't like your record. So they've exerted a lot of power, and their allies in Congress, the Republicans in Congress that are allied with them, are a minority of Republicans in Congress, but still enough to block a majority, at least in the House. And so the thing about Trump is he's not very conservative in this sense. I'm not saying, you know, there are a lot of voters out there that are conservative and voted for Trump and see him as conservative. But in terms of coming from the movement conservative side of things, reducing the size and scope of government, reforming entitlement programs, ending subsidies for industry, ending the export-import bank, all of these things Trump opposes. He's continuing it all. And, you know, if you're a member of Congress and you've got Trump as your nominee and possibly your president saying, well, I don't want to reform entitlement programs, and you've got an outside group over here saying, well, you need to reform entitlement programs, they can say, look, group, my president, my nominee opposes this. I don't have to listen to you. He won. campaigning on his policies, so maybe the voters don't agree with you, and therefore I don't have to fear you. And that's, you know, kind of what I was taking a look at in this story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I understand, and they may need, you know, a bit of an exit ramp on this deal, and maybe with their hands tied. And I think, you know, the constituencies back home saying, guys, you know, we elected you to get something done. Maybe Trump is that catalyst to, you know, bring the disparate parts together and maybe calm down that conservative wing a bit to say, look, at, you know, we understand the ideal, but let's be real. You know, we've been fighting this same fight, you know, for an endless amount of years. Let's just try and see if we can move the needle a little bit here in much the same way that Ronald Reagan did. It wasn't like he wanted everything. I mean, he'd hope for everything, but, you know, he'd be happy to compromise somewhere to at least begin to move in the right direction, don't you think?
Well, there are a couple of things there to unpack. I mean, one, you know, Reagan really was a movement conservative. So when he moved the needle, he moved it in a particular direction, and to get his priorities, he was willing to let other things go. Trump is not a movement conservative. He is, you know, in large part for different things, whether foreign or domestic, in terms of policy. But I don't know that he's ever going to move the needle in a conservative direction from that perspective. But I think one area where he may move the needle, so to speak, and probably would satisfy a certain group of voters that is important, is the fact that, you know, government might appear to be working if Congress is passing bills and he's signing them, and if there are compromises and deals being made. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the voters that I talk to about Trump, I mean, look, you know, this is not scientific here, but anecdotally, half the voters I talk to believe everything he said and wants him to do it. The other half I talk to doesn't believe a word he said, but think he's a pragmatist who would just make sure things aren't bottled up all the time. Right. They don't really know which direction they want it to go. They just know they want it to work. And whatever that means to them is what it means. These are voters that are less ideological in terms of how they view the world. They're Republicans, but they don't think in terms of ideology. Mm-hmm. And when government doesn't appear to be working, functioning properly, it makes them very insecure and upset, and they want things to work. They want their government to appear to be doing things for them.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's one of the strengths of Trump, is that he's gotten the Romney voter, who, you know, isn't necessarily the most conservative voter in the world and just wants competence in government, and then he's gotten the conservative voter, who we think of as ideological, and even though their ideology, as we think of it, doesn't match with Trump, they've been so upset with everything in Washington, frustrated, that they, you know, have chosen to send a disruptor.
Well, and that seems to be the case. I mean, that you know, they talk about outsiders, and with Trump and Sanders making the impact that they made. David, who would have thought? But I mean, that just reflects the frustration, and to your point, adds more definition to what you just said, and understanding of this anecdotal information that comes your way and is coming my way, and it's the same thing. People just say, "Look, we need to get out of this morass. I mean, we've been tied up in this. It's been rather contentious. It's not just this administration. It started with the Bush administration. We've been bogged down for a long time here, and we need to make something happen. And I believe that's why they're looking at Trump and even desperately for Sanders. And if nothing else, you know, that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother movement unto itself. I don't necessarily think that, you know, Hillary Clinton is looking at that and saying, okay, what do we learn from this? Are they just kind of reducing them to some insignificance? But to me, that's a large number of people that Sanders has been able to generate.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I think the Clinton campaign, from my reporting, is trying to figure out the environment. I still think that the electoral map and the fundamentals favors Clinton over Trump, but just at the outset. If you look at where the data is and if you look at the map, she starts out ahead. How much ahead? We're not sure yet. And I think they recognize that Trump is unpredictable and different. But, you know, you also have to figure out who you can only run as who you are and put together the best plan based on who you are. And so they're trying to do that. I think what you're going to see in this campaign from both Trump and Clinton is some of the most negative, muddy campaigning ever. And that's because they're two of the most unpopular nominees in the history of modern polling. Trump's the most unpopular. She's not far behind at the moment. So. Mm-hmm. You know, when that happens, you don't start out from a position of strength where people like you. You start out, people don't like you. You got to make the other guy worse. And that's what I think we're going to see.
Exactly. Well, Paul Ryan, I think, made a positive move in trying to, you know, do his part to unite the party. And you know, with Donald Trump and he meeting, I think there were some positives to be drawn out of that meeting. What's your perception on that, David?
Yeah, look, I mean, Paul Ryan really has no choice but to endorse Trump at the end of the day. He's the highest-ranking Republican in America, elected at the moment. And he's got a conference of 248 Republicans that are in the House that he leads. And there are a lot of them that are worried about Trump and oppose Trump, but there are a lot that are supporting Trump for various reasons, some because they like him, some because they just have no choice. And so Ryan, you know, he doesn't just get to do what he wants. He has to take into account those that he is leading. I think that what he has done so far could work out well for him. Because the one thing Trump respects, and this is my own theory, I can't really back it up yet, but you know, the one right. thing Trump respects is strength and power. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. He doesn't care.
Right.
You saw the way he treated his Republican opponents in the primary. So the fact that Ryan would come out when it was expected he would endorse and say no, I think Trump will respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually, probably early June, something like that, Ryan will endorse Trump because he has to. You know, keep in mind, they don't agree on almost anything. I mean, I guess other than the fact that neither of them wants Hillary Clinton to be
Hillary,
president.
That's about it. Yeah, right.
When
exactly.
You know, whether it's trade, whether it's market economics, entitlements, foreign policy. I'm trying to come up with something they agree on other than beating Hillary, and I can't really come up with it. Ryan is a movement conservative. That has been his whole life. He is the one that made entitlement reform a part of the Republican agenda. He did it through the sheer force of his will and commitment over a period of 10 years. And Trump comes along and is like, yeah, that's stupid. I don't want to do that. So, you know, it's not easy for a lot of these Republicans to endorse somebody who doesn't agree with them on any fundamental issue. And that's been what has been different about this process. The complaints against Romney and McCain was they were too moderate. They were not conservative enough. The complaint against Trump, fair or not, is he's not conservative at all. And so Republicans have to reconcile that because they, you know, even though their voters voted for Trump for all sorts of reasons, a lot of these Republicans actually believe this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an act. And yes, they're trying to figure out what to do.
Exactly. You know, I hear you. Well, you know, with some of this stuff, with whether it be immigration and even, you know, I mean, Trump's taken a lot of heat about the Syrian refugees and America. I mean, the polling is still, you know, very much in his favor in terms of, you know, a majority of Americans saying, what's wrong with being cautious here, you know?
Yeah. Look, there are some of the things that, he won. So,
yes.
You know, there are all sorts of reasons why he won, but he won. And, you know, I think it's the one thing, you know, for Republicans or the voters is if you think he was making it all up just for fun, then you're fooling yourself. But if you take,
yes,
you know, a lot of what he said seriously, then you know what you're dealing with. I mean, in some ways it reminds me of Obama in 2008 when so many voters wanted to believe he was a pragmatic centrist.
Mm.
And if you listen to what he said, he was a liberal. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a liberal. He believes this
right.
stuff, and that's how he wanted to govern. But people want to believe what they want to believe so they can cast a vote that makes them feel comfortable.
Exactly. David Drucker, senior congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner. David, great insight. Thank you so much for being with us. It's just about 2 minutes before the top of the hour.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You know, you've been hearing about Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients keeping the body healthy. Bill Martinez Live now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 ORAC points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 855-305-8326 or BillMartinezLive.com. Youngevity, that's 855-305-8326.